Luke 23, verses 47 through 49. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had been following him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord.
For those of you that are guests, I just want to let you know that we are in a sermon series. We're looking at a theme all through Lent, and we are talking about the people that Jesus could see from his perspective on the cross. And today we are looking at his followers whom he could see. Just down the road from here, just a little ways between here and Brant Street, there used to be what looked like a very nice home. It was a two-story, maybe one-and-a-half-story, and it had a great view looking over Burlington and overlooking the lake. Not a big house, not ostentatious at all, the kind that I thought, I wouldn't mind owning that house. Well, one evening, a few years ago, that house caught on fire and burned to the ground. Eventually, big machines came and scraped that lot level, and it was just a vacant lot for a few more years. Well, now that place is a beehive of activity. Something big is going up on that place. Not the nice little understated kind of house that might be good for a family with 2.3 children. But it's going to be, I think, a McMansion of some kind. It looks huge. Well, that's my guess, because at this point, all you can see, really, is the foundations that they have put in. And they've used a whole lot of concrete and rebar. And whatever it is going to be solid, because they are just filling that place with all these strong implements of all the cement and whatnot. Reminds me of a friend of mine who many years ago bought another house. It was an old farmhouse. And he and his wife went and they saw this place and they thought, this is such a lovely house. It's so quaint. Old two-story brick farmhouse, probably over 100 years old for sure. And they moved in because it evoked thoughts of earlier and simple times. But not too long after they moved in, they discovered that there was a big problem with the foundation. Apparently it was rubble. It was just loose stone that this house was built on, and these stones had been eroding or shifting or something, and it looks like they didn't use any cement at all in putting this foundation together. If they didn't do something, that house was going to collapse in on itself. So they had a big job ahead. Foundations, they're really important. We can't ignore them. When we as Christians talk about the church, we often use the metaphor of a building to describe it. We say things like, for the church, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, and the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, are the foundation of the church. That's not an accident that we say that. We have good reason to, because in Ephesians chapter 2, it says this: "You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. That's why we talk like that. Because the Bible, there's this beautiful passage that says exactly that. Indeed, if you leave out of this building, out of that door, and you look to the right, there's a stone. It's a ceremonial cornerstone which has part of this very verse etched into it, so that we remember who is our cornerstone. It is Christ. But when Jesus was on his cross and he was looking out from that horrible perspective, where were these foundational people? These ones who were going to be the rocks on which the whole church was going to be founded and built upon. Where were they? Not where they would have expected themselves to be not long before this at all. Remember that before the enemies were so close, while the threat was actually distant still, they were going to go to Jerusalem. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem because he knew that all this had to be accomplished. And Thomas, one of the foundational guys, said, "Let us go with him to Jerusalem so that we may die with him." Brave, brave words. The Apostle Peter, another stone of the church, said in his braggy sort of way, "Even if all others desert you, Jesus, I will never leave you." Big words. Didn't work out that way, because when things got dangerous, when the enemies were right there, they ran for the hills and they hid and left Jesus alone to face his oppressors. Well, there are a couple of signs that maybe that they would stand up for Jesus. When he was arrested, if you remember the story, that one of them, it seems, took a sword and started flailing around with it, even cut off somebody's ear. But Jesus says, "This isn't the way. Don't be doing this." Peter had the nerve to actually sneak into the house where Jesus was being interrogated. But when he was actually recognized and challenged, he denied knowing anything about Jesus, and even, you know, used a whole bunch of kind of blue words to prove how unchristly he was. The Gospel of John says that one of the disciples, probably John himself, actually came near to the cross so that Jesus could say to him, "You see my mother there? You take care of her for me." But those are the only signs that they were anything more than rabbits heading for the hills. The Gospels of Matthew and Mark and Luke all show the disciples as totally absent or distant. From the cross, Jesus could see some of his friends, some of his followers, way in the back, far into the distance. Close enough, surely, that he could see the looks on their faces. And Jesus could see the hopes and dreams that they had melting away, draining out of them. These disciples said, "We thought that Jesus was bringing in a kingdom, and now the king is dead or dying." They thought Jesus was going to introduce a spiritual movement. He would establish a school of discipleship with which we could help train others to spread the good news of the kingdom. And we've lost our teacher on that cross. So we thought that Jesus was going to establish a new family of God, and that we would be brothers and sisters all together. And now it seems that the head of our family has been taken away. And so, of course, the disciples were demoralized. Of course, they were afraid. Of course, they kept their distance from that cross and that crowd. Because, humanly speaking, this was the end. Humanly speaking, Jesus was done. Humanly speaking, there was no value and no future in getting yourselves all caught up in this, because the only thing they see could happen from this is that they themselves would be arrested, they themselves would be nailed to a cross, and what good did that do them or anybody else? It was over. The dead are dead. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry, it is written. And this plan surely did. And they saw it, even though from a distance. They stood and they saw what happened. They remain witnesses of the death of Jesus the Christ. Now, even though these people were weak, Jesus saw them and continued to love them. Though these disciples and followers of Jesus were shaken and broken in their grief, Jesus knew full well that the tablets of the law of Christ would be engraved on their hearts, and that there was a time coming, indeed coming very soon, when these cowards, these scared little rabbits, were going to be the strong foundations of the church. Now they were witnessing the suffering and death of Jesus the Christ. Later and soon, they would see other things. They would see the resurrected Jesus Christ. They would see him, and they would talk to him, and they would eat with him, and they would embrace him. They would touch him and know that it is true. They would see Jesus ascending into heaven and know that he had taken his place at the right hand of the Father. And they would be the ones who received the Holy Spirit in the extravagant outpouring at Pentecost. They would gain insight into the fuller plan of God for the salvation of his people and for the renewing of creation, and they would understand that cross that they saw. And they would understand that death of Jesus that they witnessed and know how it fit into the plan of redemption that brings hope to all who look on him. And so they would become courageous. They would not always be off in the distance. They indeed would draw near unto God. They would become so strong that in time they would face their own crosses. And almost all of them gave their lives for the witness of the gospel. And it is true that they became the strong foundation of the church because they saw these things, they testified to these things, and explained the truth of it to us, indeed, a people who are being drawn to Jesus. The question that I have for you today is, where are you standing in relationship to Jesus? We call ourselves followers of Christ. we testify that faith has been planted in us. But the temptation is that we're actually going to still keep our distance. We're going to say things, oh yeah, sure, in a safe place where no one's going to challenge me. I'll say that I'm a believer and that I'm a follower. I'm a disciple of in my own way. But so often we act and stand in as if we're not really sure about all of this. Like we're afraid to pay the price that might come from being a follower. Like we too are intimidated by the despisers of Jesus and the enemies of spiritual truth. Seems that so often we stand as if on a shaky foundation that's crumbling beneath us, and we're so unsure about how to maintain our balance. But what the Scripture tells us is that the foundation upon which we are built is not crumbling an old stone just piled up together with no reinforcement. We stand on a foundation. That foundation in that building over there, it's nothing compared to the strength of the foundation that we stand on. We stand on the foundation of Christ, on the foundation of the disciples, who were witnesses, who were filled with the Spirit, whose testimony is sure. The foundation that will not be moved and will not be swept away. Because despite our own weakness, despite our own frequent stumbling, Christ remains the God and the Savior of love. And He holds us onto that foundation. He will not take His Holy Spirit from us. We who claim the name of Christ and say, it is true that we believe, thanks be to God, we know that we are secure in the hand of God. And that no one is more patient with us or long-suffering than our Lord. He does not give up on us, just like He did not give up on His disciples. That means we may be bold and courageous. We can celebrate the Lord our God. We can proceed in life and in ministry in the full confidence of the fulfillment of the promises of God. So as we see Christ on His cross, and He sees us, let Him see us not as His disciples before His resurrection, afraid and timid. Let Him see us as His disciples after they have seen the resurrected Lord and been filled with the Spirit, because then we stand strong and we can accomplish great things with the help of God to build the kingdom among us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for Jesus on that cross and for His mercy even in His sight of those poor and sad and desperate disciples. Thank You that in Your time that You transformed them into mighty witnesses who gave a strong foundation for the church which is built upon them. Lord, let everyone see in us the strength upon which we stand. And may they be blessed too by having seen that. Amen.